We are continuing our series on spiritual warfare. We are looking at the belt of truth this morning. Last week we talked about this spiritual battle that is invisible. It's in the unseen world all around us. It's as close to us as the physical world in which we can see, but the spiritual world is just another dimension. We can sense it, we can feel it, but we can't once see it. But we can see it. And so we have this call to spiritual warfare. So I'm going to ask Jen if she would come up and blow the trumpet again for warfare. Oh, no. So we said that we cannot remain neutral in this battle. We must choose sides. We must align ourselves with the forces of God, the forces of good, because it's really a battle of good versus evil. So the belt of truth, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. I saw this cartoon, Far Side cartoon, of two deer standing next to one another. You got one of the deer is looking down at the bullseye on his friend's stomach. And the other says, bummer of a birthmark, Markel. And whether we like it or not, we are in Satan's crosshairs. There's a bullseye on us. So Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14 is our text verse this morning. Would you stand, please? We'll give reverence to God's word. Just if I can find it. We'll be looking at it at a couple of different translations. I'm reading from the MEV to begin with here this morning. Stand therefore, having your waist girded with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. We're just going to look at that first part today. Stand therefore, having your waist girded with truth. Father, we just come to you humbly today, realizing that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not man-made. But they're spiritual. And it's the armor of God. It's your armor that we wear. And once again, we just ask for your Holy Spirit to come and speak and teach us about the truth of this vital piece that we are to put on and wear. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Jill Briscoe related an experience she had to a group several years ago. She was on her way back to the United States on September 11th in 2001 from overseas. And when the terrorists struck, her plane was diverted to Iceland, where the crew and the passengers had to spend a couple of days before they could continue on in their trip. And while in the airport, Jill Briscoe observed a young female American soldier. She looked distressed and shaken. And Jill eventually initiated a conversation with her to see if she was okay and to try to encourage her and bring her some comfort. And the young lady was shaken over the events of 9/11. And when asked what had shaken her so deeply, the young woman, anticipating what was in her future, responded, "I didn't join the army to go to war." And I know some people join the Christian life and they don't recognize that there's going to be a war. I didn't join it to go to war. But you, when you join, you become a part of this battle, this spiritual warfare. We can't ignore the enemy, and we can't become too focused either. We said that last week. I came across a quote by A.W. Tozer just after last week's message. He said, "The scriptural way to see things is to set the Lord always before us. Put Christ in the center of our vision, and if Satan is lurking around, he will appear on the margin only and be seen as but a shadow on the edge of the brightness. It is always wrong to reverse this, to set Satan in the focus of our vision and push God out to the margin. Nothing but tragedy can come of such inversion. And so today we want to put on the armor of truth. And this section begins there in verses 14 through 20. Warren Wiersbe aptly calls this section "What to Wear to the War." So we're going to find out what we need to wear to the war, and we're going to start with the very first piece that's mentioned. I think it's important the order of placing these things on. And Paul urges us to stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. David Jeremiah, in his Spiritual Warfare Answer Book, cites a biography of Winston Churchill, and the book was called The Last Lion. And he affirmed that Churchill adopted as a working thesis the assumption that any given foreign policy statement by Hitler was the exact opposite of the truth. He assumed that everything Hitler was saying was a lie. And we know that Satan is a liar and a deceiver. It is his nature to be a liar. And he works at deception. So I think it's pretty safe to say that we can say that anything Satan says to us is a lie. Anything is a deception because there is no truth in him, Jesus tells us in the book of John. He is a liar from the beginning. That is his character. He is characterized by lying. And just as God is characterized as truth, and his nature is truth, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, just as much as God is truth, Satan is a liar. Now, we recognize that every day as we begin the battle and we begin to put on these pieces of the armor, we should put on truth first. It's the first piece of equipment Paul describes in the description of our spiritual armor. And it was the first piece of armor the Roman soldier would put on before going to battle. So we know that when Paul wrote these words, he's under house arrest. He's a prisoner of Rome. And day after day, he was guarded by these Roman soldiers. And he would look at them and what they were wearing. And, you know, as one went off duty and another came in, they're all wearing the same armor. They all have the same equipment. They're dressed with a helmet and a shield and a breastplate. And so one day, Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, looked at this Roman soldier that was guarding him, and suddenly the Spirit began to move upon Paul. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul then makes a connection between what these Roman soldiers are wearing and what the Christian needs to wear, what the Christian has been given by God to wear to protect himself in this spiritual war. So what is truth? What is truth? I need to back up here. I think I went too far. What is truth? Now, there are many excellent Bible teachers that define truth here as truthfulness or the believer's personal integrity. And undoubtedly, that is a key to protection in your life against the enemy. You need to be a person of integrity. But I don't believe that that's the emphasis here. Remember, the armor in Ephesians 6 is not man-made. It's not our armor. It is the armor of God. It's his armor. It's the armor that he provides for us. And personal integrity is not adequate against the forces of evil. And so I see the belt of truth here as a reference to God's objective truth. It's God's truth that we need to put on. Truth would logically be the first thing mentioned because Satan is a deceiver. As we said, he's the father of lies. And our first weapon against deception and somebody who lies to us is God's unchanging truth. Truth is a reality. The truth is the sum total of the way things really are. Therefore, we could say that truth is the explanation of all things. You know you found the truth when you find something wide enough and deep enough and high enough to encompass all things. And that is what Jesus Christ does. And so we're going to break this down today by saying the belt of truth is for strength. It's for being able to stay upright. It's for support. It's for setting the standard, and it's for success. So that's how we're going to break it down today. First of all, we're going to look at it with strength. We wear the belt because it gives us strength. The King James Version says it this way, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, nobody talks like that in contemporary English anymore, but your loins are simply the strongest part of your body, or that's the place from where you can generate the most power. Anybody who knows anything about powerlifting knows you don't just bend over and pick something up. In fact, if you ever learned that the hard way, did you ever just kind of casually bend over and pick something up and throw your back out? I remember when we started work at Abbott Northwestern Hospital. I was in environmental services, which is a fancy name for housekeeping. We watched, and we were professionals. But we had to watch these videos, and you probably had a job where you had to do this at some point in your life too. You had to watch these videos on how to pick up a pencil without hurting your back. You know, you have to bend the knee, straighten the back, and I'm not even going to do it today. I don't want to throw my back out, but hopefully if I do it right, I should be okay. But you know, we'd watch these videos of people picking up these paper clips or something white and grabbing their back on the way up and throwing their back out because they didn't learn the proper technique of lifting. And there is a proper technique in how we can lift things without injuring ourselves. And that's using our back, and it's using our legs and the groin area from which we get this strength. And Paul is saying, when you have belted your waist with truth, you have never been stronger in your life. You think about that. When you know the truth, you are strong. Knowing the truth of God gives you a strength that you cannot have any other way. And that piece of equipment wasn't a little 2 or 3 inch belt. It was a 4 to 6 inch wide leather belt. Truth is powerful. Truth can set people free. Truth can give people the strength to stay free. And the Apostle Peter makes a similar statement to Paul when he says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, he said, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. In exactly the same way a Roman soldier would roll up his skirt and tuck it in and tie it into that belt, which is what he would do. He would gather up all this loose clothing, and he would tie it with a belt so that he was free to move around. In the same way a Roman soldier did that, girding up the loins of the mind is preparation for battle. Because the battle really is in the mind of man. That's really where the battle takes place. Believing those lies in our mind that Satan throws, believing his deception, or believing the truth that God speaks, our mind comes into play. And Peter says you need to get ready for battle by renewing that mind and strengthening your mind. You strengthen your mind with God's truth by immersing your mind in God's infallible word. And that Roman belt was similar to a girdle. Now, I've never worn one. Maybe I should sometimes, but I never wore a girdle. But I do know that they help you suck your stomach in. I'm probably going to get myself in trouble here today. It's not very flattering, but it is a part of the midsection. And Peter is saying to gird up the loins of our mind, to let those areas that are of our thought life that is weak and out of shape to be girded up. So here's the point. If you have a soft mind and a flabby faith, it's time to gird up the loins of your mind. It's time to do that before you go to battle. If you have a soft mind and your faith is not strong, but your faith is weak, do not go into battle. Do not go into battle until you gird up the loins of your mind. During the days of World War II, Allied forces employed a massive campaign of deception that is still studied today. It preceded the invasion of Normandy and was known as Operation Fortitude. The purpose of the campaign was to lure the Germans to commit their resources to places other than Normandy. And the Germans were distracted from the concentration of forces that invaded Normandy on D-Day. And you know, the same way Satan is engaged in a massive campaign of deception. Successful spiritual warfare is not a matter of mastering complicated techniques or vocabulary. It's knowing the truth of God and applying it to our daily life. It's that simple. It's knowing the truth of God and applying it to our daily life. God already has truth that he has provided for us, but we have to take it up and we have to internalize it. And so the first thing is for strength. The second reason that we are to wear this belt of truth is for support. Roman armor was heavy. The soldier would often wear this armor all day long, standing for a long time or marching for long distances. And Paul calls the belt of truth, because when we have anchored our lives to the truth, it gives us support. Just like that belt would give the soldier some back support. Truth gives us back support. You know that you can have some backbone, and you know that you can stand strong when you know that you are on the side of truth. That truth will give you courage to make a stand. And we need, church, we need a strong backbone if we are going to stand against the enemy in our day. And that belt of truth securely allowed the soldier's sword to be placed at his side, so that sword could always be in a ready position. And he was always ready for immediate action. No wonder Satan attacks the Word of God. No wonder Satan attacks the sword of the Spirit, because he wants to discredit it. He wants to tell you that the Bible is not infallible, that there are errors in there. He wants us to think that truth changes, the Bible changes. And right away, even in the book of Genesis, he begins to cast doubt on God's word. Did God really say that? Yea, hath God said. Did God really say that? Do you think that's really what God meant? And so right away, we see his deception, we see his lies, and we see him trying to deceive us from the truth of God. And he has never changed that strategy. Today, he is still trying to destroy the Word of God. He is trying to at least get us to doubt what it says. And so the belt was the center and the anchor of all of the Roman soldiers' equipment for battle. Everything else may look more important, but apart from the belt, nothing would have stayed in place or remained attached. In the same way, Paul is teaching us that biblical truth must be the center of your life, and it must be your anchor. You must anchor yourself to the Word of God. You have to anchor yourself to the truth of God's Word. And I believe that when you do this, when you center your life on God's truth and you anchor your life to His truth, you have put on the belt of truth. So I'd like to make this very practical today, because it's nice to say, we need to pick up the belt of truth and we need to put it on. We need to wear it. Well, how do we do that? We do that by centering our life on God's truth and anchoring our life to this truth. And you put that on and you are wearing the belt of truth. The third thing that this belt does is it helps the soldier stand upright. It helps us to stay upright. The belt of truth holds the breastplate of uprightness or righteousness in place. And without the belt, the breastplate would have bounced around. Every time the soldier went into battle, can you imagine a loose breastplate just being shaken and moved about? Imagine a soldier galloping on a horse, or even one that moved very quickly. Without the belt holding the breastplate in place, the soldier would have been greatly hindered in battle. And without the truth of God's word and this belt, the garments would just become loose and we would find ourselves being tripped up. Without truth, you can have a false sense of righteousness and standing before God. And in some ways, the United States is a nation that is adrift because our country has lost its truth anchor. So many people are floating aimlessly through life because they no longer believe that there are any absolute truth. They say truth is whatever you believe and whatever I want to believe. That's truth, but there's no absolute truth in which to center our lives. And as I was thinking about this sermon this week and thinking about that, I thought, you know what? I think the church is the belt of truth in the armor that God wants us to put on. Now, I think that we need every piece of the armor, and the church is in some respects every piece, but it is so important for the church to be the one that proclaimed the truth in these days of great deception. And the closer we get to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul tells us that it is going to be even times of greater deception. And so the world needs the church to speak the truth, whether they want to hear it or not. So does it come down to this? Does it come down to you? Because the church is made up of individuals. Are you centering your life upon the absolute truth of God's word? There are a lot of people who debate whether we can know the truth. But again, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth. That's God's word. He is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. But here's the point. You cannot know truth apart from knowing a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Jesus is more than true. He is the truth. And not only is Jesus Christ the truth, but Jesus himself said in John 17:17, as he prayed for his disciples and for us, he said, Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And so truth is found in the living word of Jesus Christ, and truth is found in the written word of the Bible. We can know the truth because truth is the Son of God, and truth is the word of God. And the more you know the Son of God, and the more you know the word of God, the stronger your belt is. Like Jesus, the Bible is more than true. It is truth. And again, anything in this world that contradicts the Son of God or contradicts the word of God is a lie. It's not truth. And until you thoroughly believe that for yourself, you have failed to put on the belt of truth. And you will easily be overcome by the enemy. Without truth anchoring your life, you will become easy prey for the enemy's arsenal of lies. But when you believe the lies of the enemy, then he leads you into captivity. The next reason for the truth, this belt, is to set the standard. It begins with that lie straight from the pit of hell that has completely taken over the mentality of our society that says there is no absolute truth. You can't know what truth is. You define truth for you, I'll define truth for me. There are no absolutes spiritually, there are no absolutes morally. You decide what is moral, you decide what is right for you, and I'll thank you to leave me make my own decisions. But not only is that kind of thinking unbiblical, it is illogical and hypocritical. There is no person on this planet who really believes that there are no absolutes. No one practically believes there are no absolutes. In fact, the moment someone says there is no absolute truth, they just made an absolute statement. Some people say there are no absolute laws, morally or spiritually. In those areas, everybody can make their own truth. But you take that mentality into the doctor's office when you need surgery. I had my appendix out when I was 9 years old. I was concerned about how big a scar it was going to leave, you know? Where's the scar going to be? How big is the scar? What if the surgeon would have said, well, it doesn't matter how... Oh, well, but doctor, where are you going to make the cut? Well, it doesn't really matter. There's no right or wrong way to make the cut. There's no true way to do this surgery. You know what I'd find myself? Another doctor. Or suppose you go to the pharmacy and you go to get your prescription filled, and the pharmacist says, oh, you know what, we're out of that prescription today. And, you know, we'll just substitute this other prescription in its place. Why not? There's no absolute truth. Who's to say that that medicine that I want is going to help me any more than the one that that pharmacist is pushing at me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find a different pharmacist. I'm going to find a different pharmacy that will give me the medicine that the doctor has prescribed, because not just any pill will do. If I get in on an airplane and I hear the pilot say, it doesn't really matter which button I push on this control panel. I mean, after all, they basically do the same thing. I'm getting off that plane. Because I want a pilot that is committed to absolutes. The reality is our world is controlled by absolutes. In the very same way, there are absolute truths of spirituality. There are absolute truths of morality. Just like 5 + 5 always equals 10. And gravity is true whether you believe in it or not. You can jump off a building saying, I don't believe in gravity. It doesn't matter. You are going to fall down to the ground. Because truth does not change. It is irrevocable and irreversible. What goes up must come down. And whether you believe it or not doesn't change the fact that it's true. And whether people believe the Bible or not does not change the fact that the Bible is true. It is the absolute word of God. It is the authority upon which we stand and we base our life and our eternity. The entire universe is controlled by absolutes, and everybody knows it. It's completely illogical to think that there are absolute truths for everything except for that which is true spiritually and morally. And yet people will argue against such absolutes. And I think the real reason is because these truths are a means of authority, and they don't want anyone having authority over them. To live victoriously against the enemy, you must put on the belt of truth. The living word is Christ. The written word is the Bible. And it's the word of God that defines what is true and what is not. The word of God is the absolute standard of reality. The word of God rules, and it alone is our final authority. That's the mindset and confidence required to cinch up the belt of truth tightly, lest you be taken captive by the enemy. You know what? This morning I put on my belt. Do you know what? As I get older, I find something happening. As the day goes on, there's at least one time of the day where I'm going to take my belt and I have to cinch it. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. Because of my not wearing a girdle and the strength of my midsection, the weakness there, I mean, my pants will have a tendency to slip. And so I have to cinch my belt. And there are times when we know the truth of God and Satan comes at us with some lies and deceptions. You know what we need to do? We already got the truth on. We need to take that belt of truth and we need to cinch it. We need to make it tighter. We need to hang on to it. We need to cling to it. The writer of Proverbs says that you should buy the truth and sell it not. And that whenever you have the truth, you never let the truth go. You never lose a handle. You never lose grip on the truth. And if you find it beginning to slip away, you need to grab even tighter. You know what I'm saying today? There are times when the enemy comes with his lies, and you need to remind yourself of the truth. And you just need to do that. Or you need to find somebody to remind you of what the truth is. Why is this important? Let me illustrate it this way. If you ask several people to tell you the time, what time is it? You could get a variety of answers. Now, especially in the days back before cell phones. Because if I ask you what time it is, you probably are going to pull out your cell phone and then we'll all have the same time. But back in the days before cell phones, we wore these things called watches. I know today they're just more of a fashion piece than a timepiece. But you could ask somebody what time it was, and you'd have all kinds of different answers. Because nobody's watch was going to be exactly the same. Now, we could argue all day about what time it is. But you know, in your cell phone, is based on the time that is standard in Colorado. It's the government's atomic clock, and that sets the time for the entire nation. Cell phones always reflect that same time because we're all using that same standard of time. My point is this: the truth is timeless. In our current culture, people argue about what is true because they're using their own standard of time. They're using their own standard when God Himself is the standard. People argue about things like the definition of marriage. The reason they can't all agree is because they're all using a different standard. Jesus, who is the living word, quoted from the Bible, the written word, when asked a question about marriage. And in doing so, he gave us God's absolute standard of marriage in Matthew 19, 4 and 5. Where he says, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." There you have God's standard for marriage, and everything else is false. They can pass laws all they want. They can redefine marriage all they want, but it doesn't change the truth. So I'm not going to try to change God's standard to match my life. I'm going to go by the truth. I want to live by God's standard, and that's what it means to put on the belt of truth. You're ready to go to battle because now you have a firm foundation of what to wear to the war. You have an absolute truth. If you don't have any absolute truth, how in the world can you argue with people? How can you debate anything? But Satan doesn't want you to know the truth because truth is power. And therefore, he will attack and distort the truth and try to get you to deny the truth. He'll do everything that he can to conceal the truth because he doesn't want you to have it. But Christ brings you liberty and power and victory, and Satan doesn't want you to be free. He wants you to live in captivity. Remember, he's a liar by nature, and his lies hold you in captivity and slavery. But it's Christ who brings liberty and power and victory. And Jesus says in John chapter 8 and verse 32, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And then success. The belt is a strategic part of God's armor, for it holds together the rest of the armor, as we had said. And that means that the belt is foundational to success. In spiritual warfare, the foundation to success is truth. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good," what? "Success." The only way to really achieve true success and prosperity in life is to have the Word of God and meditate on its contents. For the Christian, it's not enough to know the truth. You have to live the truth. You must accept the truth internally, and then you have to act on that truth and live it out externally. That means no hypocrisy. That means no winking at sin, no compromises, no dishonesty, no unrepentant sin. Part of the wearing of the belt of truth involves bringing that truth into our lives and living accordingly. I love the story of the man who went to visit his old friend, a music teacher, and casually asked, "What's the good news today?" And without saying a word, the elderly music teacher walked across the room, picked up a tuning fork, and struck it. And as the clear tone sounded, the old man said, "That note is A. It is A today, it was A 1,000 years ago, and it will be A 10,000 years from now." He said the soprano upstairs sings off key, the tenor across the hall flats his high notes, and the piano downstairs is out of tune. But this, and he struck the note again, "This, my friend, is A, and that's the good news for today." And that is the good news of Jesus Christ. He is the truth, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is the one that we need to tune our lives to. His truth will stand. His word is the truth today. It was true 1,000 years ago. It is true today. It'll be true 1,000 years from now. We have found the one who is solid, unchanging. He is the rock upon which we can cling to. If you've never believed in him, and if you have not received him as your Savior, if you have not come to him today as the only way to God, as the truth and how to be saved, and if you have not experienced his life and the eternal life that he wants to give, I would love for you to surround yourself with the belt of that truth today, that you would recognize that Jesus is not just the words of truth, he is truth, and salvation is a relationship with him. It is a relationship with God. It's a relationship with the one who is infinitely love. It is by his nature, but he's also true. And you can come to him today, and this is a true statement, that if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you of that sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. This is a true statement. If you come to him, he will not turn you away today. This is a true statement. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And you can come to him and you can receive the free gift of salvation today. That is true. And if you would just come to him and tell him that you need him today and you want him to be your Savior and to take your sins away and commit yourself to him and his truth, he will do something in your life that you will never, ever regret. You will find out that you are free. For the first time in your life, you can say, I am totally free. One last thing, all the verbs and pronouns in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 through 20 are in the plural, which means, of course, that the passage applies to every believer. It applies to every one of us. But it also indicates to us that we aren't alone. I like this. We are not alone. We are in God's army together. We are to stand shoulder to shoulder. We stand for God's truth together. And in fact, sometimes we need each other to keep us on that straight and narrow. We need ourselves to keep us focused upon the truth. So this should give us a great sense of encouragement today. Seeing each other standing firm and resisting the devil shores up our own faith. And it gives us the resolve to do the same thing for ourselves. So let's pray today. If you are here, you have not received Jesus as your Savior, and you have not even begun then to be able to put on any pieces of the armor, let alone the belt of truth, I wonder, would you come to him today? Would you come to him today and would you say, Jesus, I recognize that you are the truth today. I've been following a lie. I thought I could determine my own truth. I thought I could live without you. But I recognize today that in reality, I can't do that. I need you. I need you. And I need what only you can give. I need your forgiveness. And if you come to him today, you can experience that love and that forgiveness. You can experience that freedom. Is there anyone here just by a raised hand say, Pastor, would you pray for me? That's me today. I'm receiving Jesus into my heart and my life. Christian, how's the belt of truth? Do you have that belt of truth on? Are you determined that you are going to live by the truth of God's word, no matter what contradicts it? That God's truth is going to be your absolute standard of authority, and you will not be fooled by anything less. Maybe somebody's here today that needs to put a belt of truth on. Or maybe you're here today and you say, you know, I believe this, but sometimes my truth is beginning to waver. With all the deception that is out there, sometimes I wonder, am I really following truth? And I would encourage you today to cinch it up, cinch that belt up. Find somebody if you need to talk to. I'm always available. Pastor, could we talk about this? I'd be glad to. Find a Christian in this congregation or a friend that you know, and just be open and honest with them. There is a great falling away today. There's a great apostasy. Some people have fallen away that we thought it would never happen to. It began with them having questions, I think, and never talking to anybody about it. So don't be like that. Find somebody to talk to. Let's be assured of the truth, that we could be fully persuaded. Father, I pray for each one here today. I ask, Lord, that you would help us always keep that belt of truth on. Always. And if it tends to get loose, Lord, help us to cinch it up. I think we need to do that day by day anyway, because we're confronted with lies, and every time we hear lies, we just want to make sure that our belt of truth is tight. And Lord, help us to stand for the truth. And I pray that your church would awaken, and the church would be the truth and the conscience of the nation once again. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you can sit tight, that would be great. Alan is coming. He's going to share about Uncle John that we've come to. Even though we've never met him, we need to meet him sometime. We prayed for him and an update on him, but also a very important court case that is coming on his behalf. So,
all right. Hello, everybody. Thank you for the time. While I'm not going to talk about girdles today, this was a great segue into what we're going to talk about. This is all about truth, defending freedom, etc. And so.